16. Matthew in 16. The series is called Upon This Rock. And that's what we're starting to teach on, Upon This Rock. It's surprising how messed up the doctrine of the church is. Honestly, it sounds crazy, but you will find not that many Christians of any stripe who understand the whole doctrine of the church and all those things. Now, I understand most people have the basics right, but there's a lot that God includes in there that people don't understand and that have a little wrong. Matthew 16, and first thing about the church we find in the Bible, in verse 15. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And all right, let's pray. Lord, teach us. Lord, help me to rightly divide the word, Lord, on this diverse subject. There's a lot of Bible on, Lord. A lot of people are confused on. A lot of people just have wrong doctrine because of tradition. I pray you speak in a mighty way and help us understand this truth and to get it. And may your Holy Spirit speak to us in a great way. In Jesus' name. Amen. I could teach you a month on this passage. Okay, it's a lot going on in this passage. It's just a ton of stuff going on. And I don't want to get bogged down this first week of that about what the rock is. You can have a lot of different answers on what that rock is, whether that's Peter, whether that's the confession of Christ, and all those things. And there's a lot of things. Baptists are very distinct on this and what they believe. And I don't think they're 100% right and all that stuff, but they're pretty close on and more accurate than most people are on that. Peter basically says, we believe you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, is that singular or plural?
Singular.
Singular. Okay, that's notable. Okay, if he's talking about every individual church, it's, upon this rock, I'll build my churches, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Okay, you see how that would be if he's talking about every individual church? Now, let's go to Matthew 18. And next we mention the church, and these are very bold, all very foundational. So Jesus introduced the word church here in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He talks about it also. Verse 15, if your brother offends you, go between you and him alone. And if he will not hear you, verse 16, then take unto thee one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall have loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. All right, so now we have here a group, one person to probably another person, then they take two people and go to the one person, and if they won't hear the two people in the rebuke, then they take it to the church. Now, so we see this is different. This is a local group. Okay, the word church in the Bible is ecclesia, is what the word means. It means to call out. Part of the word, and assemble is the other part. It means a called out assembly. Okay? So that means like you would go and make an announcement that, you know, Friday at 3 o'clock, these people are going to come to this place and they're being called out to assembly, okay? That's the word really means a called out assembly. It's the word church in the New Testament. It's used, always, that word church is always used, for the word church in English is always ecclesia in the Greek, and so it means a called out assembly. If it's not an assembly, it's not a church. You being alone and watching TV is not a church. It's not a church, it's not really a church or anything else. Okay? The Bible says a lot about a church and all the things. But the church, we see here two different things. One is church singular, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when we see a local church, which there's many, many, many millions throughout history, we see those. Now, the church is supposed to be called out. That insinuates separation. It means they're different. They're called out of the world. They're not just one of the crowd. They are a different group. They are different. And they're called out. That means they're separated. And the church is separated from the world. And 1 Corinthians 6:17, and many of the verses talk about that. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So, first of all, the church is a called out assembly, ecclesia. Number two, there is a local church, and there is a universal church. The universal church is called many different things. Now, right here, I part with most of my Baptist brethren. Baptists don't believe in generally any universal church. They believe that there's only a local church. There is no universal church. It's a very simple misunderstanding, and I'm with them in a lot of ways on that, okay? You find that the first passage we went to, a church. Now, if that is churches, like some people believe, that's only local churches. See, it's an overreaction to Catholicism. Catholicism says it's a universal church, and that is the church. And people said that is not the church. It's the local churches, the local pastors, and local assemblies, and there's no headquarters. Christ is the head of the church, not the Vatican, not the Pope. And so, overreacting, they said, all there is local church, there's no universal church. Well, it's a universal church, but it's not on earth. Okay?
That's right.
And so, it's called many things, a true church, universal. I don't like true church, because local church is the true church, too. But universal church, listen, the Catholic Church is not the universal church. It's nowhere in the Bible. They get that from Matthew 16, okay? And they say that Paul is going to the keys of the kingdom and stuff like that. I don't have to teach in that passage and all the things that are going on there and all that Jesus is saying. I want to say this. The apostles are the foundation. The Bible says that. Okay? It says that in multiple places. Even on heaven, it says the foundation of heaven has the apostles' name on it. The foundations of heaven. Okay? Peter happened to be the first guy to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and confess Christ to who he is. Okay? And he happened to do that. And you see here, but if you look at Matthew 18 here, you see a local church. This is universal, where two or three gathered by name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the definition there. That local church, whatever they bind, is bound in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, and shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then verse 20, where two or more gathered, I'm in the midst of them. So local church has these promises. And that is a local church where two people go. It'd be very funny that they think that's the local church. Every two believers in the Catholic Church have a problem, have every one of them go to the Vatican and settle it. Okay. It's not a universal church. It is a local church here. Okay? Now, they are both all over the New Testament. Both of those are. Well, you say, well, so it's a called out assembly. How can there be a universal church without assembly? Well, here's another thing right now. Open Door Baptist Church is still a church on Tuesdays. Okay, they're just not together right then. Follow? Mm-hmm. On Monday afternoon is still Open Door Baptist Church. We don't need to make a church again on Sunday. Folks, we haven't met for 4 days. Time to make a new church because we're not together. It's in between. Well, all believers will get together one day. It's called heaven. It's called the assembly of the firstborn. That's actually phrased in the Bible. The assembly of the firstborn. Now, here's the thing. The Bible refers to all believers together. in many passages, we'll read those passages, he also refers to the local church. The key is the local church is what God is using right now. Okay? That's what God uses. Use a local church. And everything in the Bible is that. The letter is written to the Corinthian church, the church in Colossae, the Philippian church. They are dealt with individually as an individual church, and Christ is ahead of every single church. Okay? We don't have any denomination. We're an independent church. Why? We don't have Christ to be our head. Okay? And so he calls the shots and he tells us that we have only one authority, the Word of God, and Christ is ahead of the church. That's why we don't have a denomination. I don't think all denominations are wicked and evil and terrible, but I wouldn't belong to one. But some denominations let churches have their own deal. Southern Baptist Convention is very autonomous for churches. They actually own their buildings, for example. They can actually vote in whatever pastor they want. A lot of denominations just send whatever pastor, and they just rotate them through, whoever they send, and it's kind of like that. But they can do all that stuff because it's not like that. But that's what it's like. So we'll go to some passages. You will answer me in our class here whether this is local or whether this is universal. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's just start there. Now, I don't fight with my Baptist brothers about this. Why? Because their emphasis is on the local church and their local assembly, and I'm 100% agreeing with them. Local power, local authority, local churches, starting local churches, all of that's biblical and good, and if a local church is start a church, and all those things are true and good, and I believe in the authority of the local church and all that it has, I believe in all that. I just believe there's also a universal church. It doesn't matter that much because it doesn't do anything much. But it is a fact of the Bible, but there is something that we should see there with it, because God mentions it. Ephesians 1, let's see if this is local or if this is universal. Verse 22, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What do you think that is, universal or local?
Universal.
Okay, good. Universal. Let's look at Ephesians 3:10. Let's burn Ephesians. Verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that is. Okay. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Okay. All right. You're right in all those. All right. Galatians 1, so let's do kind of things together in the same passages. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Actually, Galatia is a region, and this letter is written to the churches in Galatia. Some are an individual church, like Philippians is an individual church. Galatia is a region, okay? But it's to the churches. By the way, God always goes to churches. Even when he's talking to this whole region, he says, this is the churches in Galatia. God always, read Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. God has messages to churches. He works through churches. Not individuals, churches, okay? And the churches are one body. We already did Matthew 18. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see what we find there. Same area, just a little bit farther back. Just a little bit back from where you are, 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Universal. Yeah. They persecuted a lot of churches. The English here would say, and I don't understand people who don't believe in the universal church. The English here would say, I persecuted the churches of God, if there wasn't one church. Okay? Yeah. And again, the English is pretty clear on these things. Let's go back to Romans 16, just a little farther back there. Romans 16. In verse Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute the well-beloved friends. Local church. It's in a house. Okay? Can a universal church fit in a house? No. And in my Father's house it'll fit. So that's a local church there. And so you can see that. It's almost always super clear. Just like every verse that is read, I'm not picking verses out, I just got a list of each one. I'm just showing the verses. It's just really clear by the context and by what you see there. And let's go to Hebrews 12. A couple more. You can pretty clearly see which is what. Hebrews 12. And let's start verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Which is that?
Universal.
Pretty clear there. The general assembly. Okay? It is not assembled right now, but it's a general assembly in heaven. Okay? And you can see that pretty clearly. Let's go to, this is a little harder. Acts 20. Acts 20. Paul calls a council, and he calls the elders from Ephesus here, and he talks to them in verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Local.
A little harder, huh?
Local.
Universal.
Local.
How many say universal? How many say local? All right. Very good. This is that. It's actually both. He's saying to multiple elders, feed the church of God, singular, but he's telling them, you're going to do it locally. And so it's a little hard one there. That's probably the hardest one in the Bible, is here's what he's talking about. Because he says singular, but he's talking to multiple elders, spiritual pastors. And let's see. Let's go to Colossians 1. That's an important verse in general. We'll move on a little bit. Colossians 1. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, he's supposed to have the preeminence in all things. And right now, and I get into Christ being the head of the church, but we'll do that in a different lesson. But it says that real clearly, and he's supposed to be the head of the church. Now, here's the thing. let's go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A couple things here. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is there a church in the world that has never been prevailed since the time of Christ? The church that's never, the gates of hell never prevailed against it? No. This is called my perpetuity. That the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's never been a church where Satan, the church of Jerusalem, the church that started at Pentecost, church is gone. That would have been the church he was talking about. Because that was the one with the apostles and the pastors and the head. But that church is gone. Church of Antioch, amazing church, gone. There's never been a local church that gates of hell will not prevail against. If it lasts long enough, and Jesus doesn't come back, Open Door Baptist Church will be a liberal church or a bad church. Like I said, liberals never started anything. They always take over what people who are right start. They never start a nation, they never start a church, they never start a business. They take over what people start. That's what they do. And liberals, they never started a Bible college, they never started a church. They just let them build it up, and then they come in and say, this is a dumb thing. They say, if you would start compromising everything, you'd have a much bigger group and everybody want to come to your group. And then they'd say, really? Okay, you want to reach more people. And then they start compromising, and immediately all the numbers go down. You know, it happens every time. Every denomination in America is doing that now. And every single one's numbers are going to the floor. Okay? By the way, those same denominations overseas are still preaching the gospel and thriving. It's the hand of God. It's not you. The people who like you compromising don't go to church anyway. They say, man, it's really good you did that. We like that church. I don't go to church, but I like that one. That's what they do. And so they think, die, and they go downhill that way. And they do that in churches, and it's universal. It happens that way. Open door, eventually, the devil would prevail against it. I would compromise. You get some deadhead pastor who preaches the gospel, or you throw me out. Just things happen in the church, and eventually. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? We'll do it more next week. I think it'll be next week. Understand, there is never, and this is a thing where history shows this, but most people at a casual glance at history are wrong on this. They think that there were times in the past where biblical Christianity was gone, and Martin Luther brought it back. That is not at all true. There was always born-again, Bible-preaching Christians that are called by many different names, but Satan never prevailed and snuffed out the church. Never. There was always people like us. Always. And you can follow them in history. They had a bunch of different names. They were noble. They were courageous. They kept the truth going. Now, praise God for Martin Luther. He was one everybody knew about and got a lot of people to follow and started Lutheranism. And good. Praise the Lord. But, Martin Luther, just like Calvin, though they came back to the truth of the way, started persecuting the born-again Bible-believing Christians. They were always there. They are always the minority and always not liked. Okay? They're the ones who, they're just a set of beliefs that they always had. The Bible was their only authority. They believed in the second birth, baptism after salvation. They believed all those things. They always believed those things. They've always been there. They usually are persecuted. They're usually outcast. Now, it's not now right now they're not outcast. Those Bible-believing Christians influence America so much that most American Christians became that. Okay? Praise God.
Amen.
It's a good thing. But guess what? Guess who's under the gun again in America? Same group. While the church is chasing the world right now, there's Christians, and they aren't all by the same name, but there are Christians who are sticking with the Bible, and their criticism a lot of times is from what?
Other church. Christians.
People say, oh, the Bloody Mary was killing wicked, it's evil, it's what religion does. They were killing born-again Christians. They were one of the main people they were killing is born-again Christians. They're always here, and Bible-preaching Christians, and they're always there. The gates of hell never prevailed against them. No matter how many they tried to kill, no matter how much they would slaughter us, it did not matter. We survived. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I want you to notice, though, it's the gates of hell. Gates are defensive. We are charging hell. We're not defeated. The gates of hell won't stand. You don't attack somebody with gates. Look, they're bringing their gates at us. Run! That's not how warfare works. Gates are when you're attacking. And we are supposed to be on the attack, on the offensive. The gates of hell won't prevail against us. We're going to break down the gates of hell, amen?
Yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to do. The gates of hell. So next week, what I'm going to do is I'll go into some history. Maybe take 2 weeks. I'm going to show you something we'll call the Trail of Blood. It's a line of Bible-believing Christians and showing you that they've always been there. They were there in 300. They were there in 500. They were there in the Dark Ages. They are always there. Because the gates of hell never prevailed against the true Bible-believing, Word of God, born-again, Bible-preaching Christians. They've always been there. They've always been courageous. They've always stood for God. And by the way, I ain't changing because the world doesn't like it. I'll stand with the people who stood for thousands of years for Christ. And the gates of hell won't prevail. And that's okay. They've been a minority a lot of times. They've been a few. And that's okay. We are on the offense. And we aren't going to back down. We'll stick with God. And why? Because at the assembly in heaven will look very good, and that's a good thing. Let's go back and look at some points here about the church, the Lord of the church. So, having said that, the local church is what's most important. The local church. You don't go to the universal church. Nowhere in the Bible do you. Okay? 2 points here. A, the local church is a local, visible manifestation of the universal church. Okay? If we are what the Great Assembly is. And with Christ ahead, all gathered together, all called out the rapture, that is what we are. We're just that a local manifestation. We are Christ ahead. We're a group of believers with gifts, and we'll meet together and do God's work together. Next, the Lord uses and gives authority to the local church. We just read that in Matthew 18. Whatever you bind on earth, you're bound in heaven. Talk about a local church with two people going to one person going to one person, two people going to one people, then taken to the local church. And then whatever they find on earth should be bound in heaven. They go and say, this man in the church is now a heathen and a publican. Now listen to this. If you are part of a local church and the church disciplines you, that is bound in heaven. You're under the discipline of God and you are separated. You can't get right with God until you're at the church. Okay? If they've done the biblical way. Why? Because whatever you bind on earth as a local church is bound in heaven. We have somebody come to our church and they'll say, you know, it's so-and-so church. And if they tell me, they discipline me to remove from the church, I will say, you need to, before we can accept you as a member, go back and get it right. Get that right. Okay? Because that local church bound it. And they're bound. And let me take you first, because if I had talked about that, when a church says, you are now a heathen, you're now a heathen. The church has that authority. But it said in Matthew 18, or we did in 1 Corinthians 5. People don't understand that because we have an anti-authority thing. We don't understand that local church has authority. That local church has authority very clearly taught. This is, they're told to do it in 1 Corinthians 5 to a man. Oh, no, 1 Corinthians 5, 3. For really, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already, and as though we are present concerning him that has done this deed. The wicked man committing adultery with his stepmother. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, as in the authority of the local church, to deliver such an one into Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit will be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good, knowing not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, it will ruin the whole church. And so it says, you separate from him, and you find him. And you say, as Matthew 18 said, treat him as a heathen and a publican. And verse 9, I wrote unto you an epistle not to keep covered fornicators. Yet not, and so he goes and covers a lot of things there. And somebody calls himself a brother. Okay, so local church has authority. Local church has a right to ordain people. By the way, and if you follow in Acts 13, you find out that that Paul and Barnabas were called through the church. And God said to the church, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, from the ministry. Lay hands on them and send them out. By the way, we never support a missionary who's not sent to the local church. It's God's pattern. God always starts church in the church. God always sends pastors and missionaries out. And so every single one of our missionaries has a local church that they're out of. It's God's pattern. They have the authority to do that. These are all things. These are all authorities that are given to the local church. And God has that. Now, denominations send people, and I'm not fighting with them or whatever. They're my friends and all. And some guy tells me I'm starting a church, and I'm sent out of the United Methodist, which wouldn't happen anymore in America. Overseas, yes, but not in America. But I was like, God bless you, man. Good luck. And we would be their friend. And hope they do well. Hope they win souls and all that stuff. But we choose, because we believe in the authority of the local church, it has a bunch of authorities given to it by God. And it has those authorities that we do those things. And you say, well, I don't think a church has a right to do that. Don't do the things that get you kicked out. Don't go commit adultery with your stepmom. And then when somebody rebukes you and rebukes you again and rebukes you again and you're giving a bad name to the church, repent. We've never had to do that, by the way. Never. We're just fortunate when people want to be wicked and act up, they just leave. They don't like my preaching, I guess, I don't know. But I've had to ask two people, I think, in the history of our church to stop coming. And one is a predator, and it was here. He stopped coming to kill him. And somebody else who was just rebellious and causing problems, and I just said, you know, this is not the church that causes problems, and there's lots of churches that let you do it. You're not going to do it here, and they're going to keep doing that quick on the church. I don't like gossips. I don't like people. We don't want you fighting, causing strikes and families, and they're going to stop. And then they said, I'm going to come back. And they said, oh, no. And so we don't have that. Usually when they want to backslide, they go away. But if somebody's ruining the name of Christ and going to our church and be an active member, because people used to, here's understand, in the New Testament, people understood if you weren't in a local church, you weren't right with God, and you were a heathen. Okay? Well, when you got removed from that church, not back then, by the way, there's only one church in town. So you just couldn't go to church. Nowadays, people just stop their feet and go to somewhere else, thinking they're right, but they're not. And they'll always be off center. Because why? Because God said, I found this thing, you gotta get it right. And then later in 2 Corinthians, they're told, okay, receive and God. Okay, because that's the process. Because a local church has authority, and they have that. There's no universal church authority anywhere in the Bible. No, it's not given. Number three, our participation is in a local church. Let's go to just so many verses. Acts 4, we'll see that. Your participation is a local church. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, you can see the picture here. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither had any of them aught that was his own, aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. That's how close they were. And great power is given gave the apostles, witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace upon them all. They were blessed corporately. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessed of lands and houses sold them and brought them the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution is made to every man according as he had need. Let me just stop you there for a second. Biblically, to give the people, they brought the church. And the church distributed it. That's the Bible pattern. That is really important. You say how important that is. First of all, your tithe goes to the local church. Remember the verses on that. Your tithe doesn't go to a Christian ministry somewhere. You may give to a Christian ministry. I'm not against that at all. And you send some money. I've done it. And it's fine. But your tithe goes to your local church. That's the pattern of the Bible. Does. It shouldn't go to some lay ministry out there. If you want to send money to some parachurch organization, I'm not against that. If they're doing good things, that's fine. But it's done through the local church. Is the biblical pattern of tithing and giving and that. And you say, well, I can just give to my friend Joe over here and I can just go feed him and do that. I prefer you not to give to people directly in our church. I prefer you to do the Bible. There's a reason I didn't know why God had that pattern in the Bible because I was a pastor and I understood it. I've had people come to our church who you shouldn't give money to. And you don't even know the whole story, but I know the story. And there's a reason they want cash. And they might say, and they might be telling the truth, they might not have any food, and they might be getting evicted, really? Can I tell you? Sometimes it's good for people to be evicted. And sometimes you give them cash, you think you're buying food, you're not buying food. Now, I usually know these things. They're being honest with me, but they might not be being honest with you. Okay? I don't know why everybody's honest with me. They are. People just tell the truth. But we might, as a church, be dealing with someone, helping them along. And now, sometimes you come and say, Pastor, so-and-so asked for help. Can I help them? I said, sure. Well, I think they're fine. But sometimes I've said to people, let it sit. And just trust me on that. Because, and I'm not going to stand there and say, hey, don't give any cash to Jeremy. He's got a drug problem. I'm not going to do that. Okay? You all know that already. That's why I said it. I'm not going to do that. But listen, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Right? Yeah. And sometimes guy's being lazy. And I know he's being lazy. You know? We don't want to. And now we feed people all the time. What are you doing? So there's a reason God does it that way. And they did that. Now they're doing everything together. They're giving together. They're getting grace upon them together. Verse 36, and Joseph, who was by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. So you see the pattern there. Today. They're working through the local church. By the way, sometimes, listen, believe this. If you're a diligent person, don't believe this. A lot of people say, I need some money, I need some financial help. My power is turned off and I can't do anything. And I'll say, all right, listen, I know you're not working right now. Come to church and pick up all the garbage around those dumpsters and around this building. And you know what? We'll pay you $10 an hour to do that. And I'll say, you know what? I don't really like that. And then I'm teaching them. Why? Because they're being lazy and they want to do it. And we're teaching them, yeah, it's cold out there, isn't it? Maybe we should work. And then all of a sudden, some of the church walk up and slips a $100 bill, and I go, you understand there's a reason for that stuff, okay? And you say, that's mean. If that's mean, then God's mean. If man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Okay? And so we're helping people. And sometimes there's people who are, there's a single mama and her husband abandoned her, and she's embarrassed about it, and she needs help, and we're going to help her, but she's too embarrassed to ask anybody. But we know. And you don't even, she doesn't want to know the whole story about her husband leaving, stuff like that. And so the church can help her. And you might help her too. And just make sure. Just at least check. Okay? At least check. And sometimes a lot of times they'll say, sure, I'm going to help them. At least check, because it's a good biblical way to do things. And local churches is how they worked and how they did their ministry and how they participated and how they did things. When Peter was in jail, what happened? His local church prayed for him in the house. Why? It's a local church. You're praying for the pastor. The pastor's in jail. And that's the way it's done. It's participated locally in giving and all those things. Next, the local church is to teach and learn doctrine. The local church, we read that in Acts 20:28. Feed the church of God which is among you. That's the way it's supposed to do that. Let's go to Acts 2 since we're nearby. So, I'm a local church guy, big time. Lots of Bible reasons for that. However, I recognize and see that there is a universal church, and we do some things for them. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, let's see. Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I guess so many verses. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be in season, out of season, a local church. Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 4, 4. Timothy's told to teach his church. All these things. There's a lot of verses. I can't turn them all. But the church is where you get doctrine for. It's a strange thing. God calls the church the pillar of ground of truth. But he's telling Timothy how he had to behave himself in the church of God. That's local. And local churches are where the truth comes from. They read their Bibles. They preach the word. And they have that in them. So we see that. Now, what's the universal church for? Well, we help each other. We have brothers in the Philippines. We have brothers and sisters in Haiti. We are working together for the same cause. I'm not going to start a church personally in Zambia. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Zambia and help a guy who started 70 of them and go help those local churches. Why? We're on the same team. I am on the same team with all born-again, Bible-believing Christians. I get along with all of you. Can I tell you something? I know our church is more conservative than 99% of churches in America. Not around the world, but in America. That's not saying much. I've been the toughest person in the kindergarten. It's not a big deal. But we're very, very conservative. We understand that. We haven't changed the world. We've stuck with the word. We get that. I have a lot of people I know, a lot of Christians I know, who don't go soul winning, who don't believe in any kind of direct holiness, just holiness is a vague term, doesn't mean anything, who watch things I wouldn't watch, and listen to things I wouldn't listen to, and things that we preach against, they do, they think is normal, and all those, I understand all that. You know what? My brothers and sisters, still. I don't hang around all the time. They don't preach in our church if they're liberal. If they're like a born again people now. They don't. We keep the pulpit hot. Okay, there's lots of things to cool you down. There's ice everywhere around you. So we put in the pulpit fire. You want to have, I don't need to say, I don't need to bring anybody in and say, you know, guys, just don't be so serious about God, and don't go to church so much, and don't read your Bible so much. We don't need to do that, okay? We need to keep on, because the world is pushing at us all the time. Listen, I get along with Christians that I strive to. They know we're Christians by our love, by the way we love each other. I don't publicly fight with any Christians. I get along with most any Christians, even though I don't agree with them. They criticize me much more than Christians do. My fight's not with Christians, it's with the devil. Okay, so we get along. I can go and I can, our old building, that church right across the corner from there, when we got in there, I called the pastor and I said, hey, I'm the pastor next door, I can meet you. We had coffee, we talked. He called me one day and said, can we get over this? I said, sure. And then I called him one day and said, and we just, why? Now, we don't see everything the same. Okay, I walked in this church and said, days of death video games in every single spot, you know, for all the video game consoles everywhere, but shoot them up the apple. Listen, do I like that in a church? No. Did I say a word to him? Asked him about when he got saved, and he had a great testimony. And I was friendly with him. Why? We're part of the same body. Now, here, I'll preach on it. Here, I'll preach on everything, all, you know, scream and yell and spit and everything else. And that's fine. We'll do that. Because we're a local church. And we're a local church that's distinct. And we're a local church who are trying to do mighty things for God. And you, we'll talk about this morning in the morning service. We're a local church who's a certain way. I got a lot of brothers and sisters out there that I get along with, and I never fight against them. I meet them in the foreign field. Listen, I've been on the foreign field. Don't tell anybody this. I went to the foreign field, and I went to some churches. They weren't where they thought they were. Most of them weren't saved. I preached gospel, and we had a lot of people saved in those churches. I am trying to get along. I am trying to, with my brothers and sisters, they are on my team. And you know what? If I can help somebody else, of course, local church, our local church emphasis, but we help some people around the world. Why? Because we're on the same team. We send them money. We hear about some brother who's in Bulgaria, and he's got some serious health problems, and he can't pay his bills. Guess what? We're on there. Just because he's not a member of my church doesn't mean we're on the same team. And so we'll send him money. We'll help him. We'll pray for him. And we hear about another church around here, another believer who's having a hard time. We are on the same team. We're born again. As we just sung in Honor of Christian Soldiers, we are not divided. All one body. We. One in hope and doctrine. One in charity. Now, if they don't believe the Bible and they're way off on the fundamental doctrines of faith, then okay. But we're trying to get along. And we try to work together to win the world to Christ and make a difference. We need each other, and we do that. Oh, let's see. Okay, we're about done there. All right, questions? Well, we just got a second here. It all figured out? Yes, sir.
The redistribution of the tithes to the local church is supposed to just go out to members, or how is that supposed to be benefited?
It did a lot of things. Like the church at Philippi, a lot of their money went to Paul and his missions. The local church kind of decided.
But is it going to believers, or is it supposed to be non-believers? Just helping out for needs, or someone willing to turn around and go buy drugs and just get, you know, whatever.
No, it can use whatever the local church thinks it needs to be used for, but sometimes it's unsaved people. Like on a big day of promotion, you know, and we're going to give hot dogs to the kids, a lot of unsaved kids. Or one of these days we're going to have an open house, and we're going to have a bunch of food out there for the neighbors to come and eat, and all the Muslims up there will have it halal, you know, so they can come eat it. And so that, things like that, it can be things like that. So it can be used whatever the local church needs for, but sometimes it's unsaved people. But
definitely not $1 million house.
Yeah, no. The priority is always your own family. And our priority is always our own family, the church family, the first things. And we have that. I was laughing. There's a TV preacher who desperately needs an $80 million jet.
Huh.
And a Learjet. And the thing about the crack, it was fun to me because he could have gotten a lot of nice personal jets. But the one he wanted was to show that Jesus really does prosper people. So it's the nicest Learjet that you find. And the thing about it, he's unashamed about it. And he says, I need you to raise this money for my Learjet so I can fly around the world and preach the gospel. Fly first class. You know, I mean, you can go, with $80 million, you can go a lot of places in pretty good shape. Okay? The thing about it surprised me is, one, he was unashamed about it. Two, and by the way, the secular reporters are all reporting this. But three, people gave to it. If you got extra money, don't give him a $80 million. It's not like he can't get there unless you buy that for him. You know how many churches could do amazing things? You know how many widows you could help? So we, and let him fly first class, okay? You can fly a lot of places first class for $1 million. Or buy a cheap jet for $10 million. Oh, it's amazing the world we live in. Here we start. All right, let's go ahead and pray. And let's spend. Father, thank you for the chance to do your work after we do my works for you. I pray this local church would understand this doctrine, understand what you do, and Lord, help us just bury our lives in a church that does great things for you. And thank you for your word, and thank you for the church, the firstborn, and the open door, the local church. Thank you for both of them. They're both important. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you back.